This is Merrill Muller in the NBC election headquarters in New York. In 1 minute, we'll go around the nation for the latest election returns.
Who are the people behind a headline? The hardworking newsmen and women who bring you the facts? Well, you'll find the answer tomorrow night on The Big Story. The Big Story is a true and dramatic account of the newspaper world, and you'll go behind the scenes to hear the documented case of a reporter's search for a front-page scoop. Sometimes it's a glamorous business, sometimes a grim one, but it's always exciting. So be on hand tomorrow and every Wednesday for The Big Story. And don't forget, Wednesday also means quiz and comedy with You Bet Your Life, the funniest quiz on the air, starring the one, the only Groucho Marx. With Groucho asking the questions, there's no predicting what will happen. But right answers, wrong answers, or funny answers, you'll enjoy each grand minute of You Bet Your Life. That's tomorrow night. A fascinating look at the newspaper world behind the scenes on The Big Story and 30 minutes of question and answer fun with Groucho in You Bet Your Life. Both brought to you by NBC Radio, your best bet in entertainment. Now for the latest election returns, here is Merrill Muller.
Democrats have drawn first blood in this exciting election contest of 1954, a contest that has baffled all the experts by the surprisingly heavy vote, which may top the 1950 off-year total. Early Democratic victories, one confirmed and one still only claimed, were these. In Delaware, the Democrats have swept all the state offices, re-won the key Senate seat of J. Allen Freer, despite President Eisenhower's personal intervention, and have scored an upset by taking a House seat away from the Republicans. In New York State, the Democratic Committee claimed that W. Averill Harriman has won the post at Albany by a heavy margin. There is an unconfirmed rumor at this hour that his Republican opponent, Senator Irving Ives, has conceded. Latest tabulations show Harriman pulled 3-1 against Ives in New York City to offset Ives' 3-2 lead in upstate New York. Those are the first sensational results to come in. Here's another. J. Strom Thurmond has won a write-in ballot in his state. But as of this hour, here's the way our election chart reads at NBC headquarters in New York. At 10 p.m., the Republicans had elected 2 members of the Senate and the Democrats 12 members of the Senate. In other Senate contests, Republicans are leading in 7, Democrats lead in 8 races. To the House of Representatives, as of this hour, the Republicans have elected 20 members. The Democrats have elected 138. There is a net gain in the House of 2 seats for the Democrats. In other contests, Republicans are leading in 24 House districts. Democrats lead in 14. Of the 35 contests for governor this year, the Republicans have elected none so far. The Democrats have elected 7. Net gain of 2 governors for the Democrats. The GOP is leading in 9 states for the gubernatorial race, and the Democrats are leading in 9 states also. Now let me give you a quick rundown of how we're going to recover this election for you through the night. Here with me at election headquarters around the radio roundtable are NBC experts Ray Henley, concentrating on the House contests, W.W. Chaplin, watching the governors, and H.V. Kaltenborn, the analyst who's checking every race for trends and meaning. Throughout the nation tonight, at our affiliated stations, hundreds of reporters are on the job checking local contests and ready to alert us on the hot developments. Whenever they do, we will switch directly to the scene of a late result to bring you the first and the best coverage of the evening. Now to get things started, let's take a look at the House situation by calling in Ray Henley.
And the situation in the House of Representatives is that of the 435 members of the House, definitely elected 138 Democrats, definitely elected 20 Republicans. The Democratic total includes 114 sure seats in the South. Democrats are leading in 14 other districts from where we have reports, Republicans in 24. I'll interpret the situation further for you when my turn comes.
And now let's get a look at the governor's races by calling in W.W. Chaplin.
Merrill, of the 33 contests for governor, we have 7 wins already, and they're all Democrats. If you concede that Averill Harriman has won in New York, as the Associated Press flatly does, that's a net gain of 2 governors for the Democrats. Republicans are now leading in 9 states, Democrats in 9. We'll be back with more about the governors as we go along.
H.V. Kaltenborn, what do you see in these fragmentary returns so far?
I see a Democratic year, as every poll predicted and as most observers expected. But it's not a sensational Democratic year. After all, every off-year election has gone in favor of the party out of power since 1910, and the average number of congressmen elected by that party out of power has been 37 greater than the opposition. I don't believe the Democrats will do as well this year, and I notice that in candidates that are elected, there is a trend towards conservatism, whether they be Republicans or Democrats.
Thank you, H.V. Kaltenborn. And as for the Senate, which is my responsibility, so far the Republicans have reclaimed Margaret Chase Smith's post, and the Democrats have held the Delaware seat of Senator Freer. So let's get started around the country. But before we do, here's a late result from, or not a result, but a late return from Connecticut, indicating a very close race for governor in Connecticut. Of 163 towns out of 169, this is the report to this minute, Ribicoff is leading Lodge by only 2,000 votes out of nearly a million cast. We'll get more on that for you in a few minutes. In fact, we're going to Connecticut first, right now, by getting in the reports from one of the key districts in Connecticut. This district is Hartford, the first congressional. They say as Hartford goes, so go the chances of the Republicans or the Democrats. So let's get the word from the first Connecticut district by switching to Bernard Mullins at station WTIC in Hartford, Connecticut.
Here in Connecticut, it appears that Governor John Lodge has won re-election for a second four-year term. There are still one or two towns which have not made a complete report, but on the basis of unofficial figures compiled by WTIC and the Hartford Current, Governor Lodge appears the winner over former Congressman Ribicoff by about 5,000 votes. Ribicoff took an early lead, but the returns from the towns, many of them traditionally Republican, cut into that lead continually and dramatically in the last few minutes. In the congressional races, Democratic Congressman Dodd has been reelected in the 1st District, and Republican Congressman Morano has been reelected in the 4th District. The 3rd and 5th districts also look safe for the Republicans. So it looks like four out of six congressional seats in Connecticut for the Republicans, and possibly five out of six, including congressmen at large. Now, for a look at the rest of New England. In New Hampshire, with 80 out of 297 towns in, for governor, Republican Dwinell, 14,749, that's Republican. Democrat Shaw, 13,277. For the full Senate term, Republican Bridges, 16,512. Democrat Morin, 11,721. In Vermont, with 76 out of 246 towns reporting, for Congress, with 73 towns in, incumbent Republican Winston Prouty, 19,908. Democrat John Boylan, 17,245. So that's the story at the moment from the WTIC Hartford Current Election Headquarters. This is Bernard Mullins in Hartford.
That just gives you an idea of the speed of radio. I want to recap that for you because it indicates that within the last 15 minutes, there's been a change in the situation in the gubernatorial race in Connecticut. As we went on the air, I told you that Ribicoff was leading Lodge by about 2,000 votes out of nearly a million. Hartford told you just after me that Lodge, in late dramatic returns, had recaptured the lead from Ribicoff. We'll have more on that Connecticut race for you later in the evening. One other man here at our central news headquarters in New York is Irving R. Levine, who's standing by at our telephone desk. He has direct telephone lines to all the key spots across the nation. So right now, we want to get from Mr. Levine a report on that Freer victory in Delaware, the victory in the senatorial seat despite the intervention of President Eisenhower, who made a speech in Wilmington during his airline tour of only last weekend. So now over to Irving R. Levine on the telephone desk.
I'm speaking to Fred Hartman at station WDEL, Wilmington, Delaware. It's a victory for the Democrats in Delaware, Senator J. Allen Freer, Jr., the winner in the race for the hotly contested Senate seat. Despite a torrential rain most of the day, there was a record turnout of about 85% of registered voters. What's the latest in Delaware, Fred?
Delaware Democrats have won their first off-year election in 32 years and have done so in overwhelming landslide style. Democratic Senator J. Allen Freer, Jr. was elected to his second term by a tremendous 20,000-vote margin over his Republican opponent, Herbert B. Warburton. Political observers predicted the Freer victory because of the senator's conservative voting record. Another factor was the segregation-integration fight in Lower Delaware. Democrat Harris B. McDowell defeated Mrs. Lillian I. Martin in the race for the House of Representatives by about 15,000 votes. Mrs. Martin is the first woman ever to run for Congress in Delaware. Voting machines were used for the first time, and this touch of modern machinery helped Delaware become one of the first states to complete election figures. The story in Delaware is Democratic all down the line. This is Fred Hartman in Wilmington, Delaware.
A Democratic victory of landslide proportions in Delaware. This is Irving R. Levine, now back to Merrill Muller.
About all we can say on that is to remember that one state, the trend in one state, need not be the trend nationally. It'll take another hour or two before we begin to see a national trend tonight in the 1954 close congressional election contest. We'll have more returns on the election close-up for you in just 1 minute.
You know, keeping up with the world during those busy weekday hours is no problem if you're tuned to NBC. Throughout the week, a series of NBC news features keeps you up to date at home and overseas. In the morning, for example, there's World News Roundup, a broadcast designed exclusively by NBC for busy breakfast time listening, so that you can start your day well informed. Then in the afternoon, Pauline Frederick reporting, bringing you all the latest news, along with the penetrating personal highlights about people and places in the news. In the evening, News of the World with Morgan Beatty and the News of the World staff, gathering headlines from here and abroad with direct pickups. Also in the evening, Three Star Extra with Ray Henley and NBC correspondents throughout the world, giving you a complete look at the headlines and the stories behind the headlines. All these and many more brought to you by the NBC News staff Monday through Friday. Now here again is Merrill Muller.
One of the key states in this race this evening is New Jersey, where there's a hot senatorial contest and 5-4 marginal seats in the House of Representatives. So let's get a direct report now by going to Arnold Snyder at WTTM Trenton.
Democratic hopes are riding high in New Jersey as Senate candidate Charles Howell forges into a 48,000-vote lead over Republican Clifford Case. A moment ago, State Democratic Chairman George Bruner predicted that Howell will sweep New Jersey by at least 125,000 votes. With 33% of the state's election districts reporting, it's Democrat Howell, 326,720, Republican Case, 277,817. The contest still turns on crucial developments in normally Republican Bergen County, where Democrats say they're holding their own, and in traditionally Democratic Hudson County, where Democrats say they're beginning to roll. Yes, Democrat Howell is smiling at his 48,000-vote lead, but he's not yet claiming victory. Still too early to tell about those 14 congressional districts, except Democrat Frank Thompson Jr. is a winner in the fourth. This is Arnold Snyder in Trenton. Now back to NBC Election Headquarters in New York.
One of the real states to count tonight is going to be Pennsylvania. It's got a lot of unemployment, which has been one of the key issues of this contest. It has 11 marginal races, that for the governor, and also 10 in the House. So let's see how things are going in Pennsylvania by going to John Rowley at KYW, Philadelphia.
In early returns, it appears Philadelphia is showing definite signs of duplicating 1952's Democratic sweep when Stevenson won the city by 160,000 votes. At the moment, the Democrats lead by 86,000 in Philadelphia. The Republicans are making no predictions here in the congressional races, though it's thought Republican incumbent Hugh Scott may make the grade in the 6th District, and the other five appear to be staying in the Democratic column. Democratic headquarters in Harrisburg comes up with a 10 o'clock figure of interest. Lycoming County, normally Republican, 2-1, shows a vote of 1,700 for Democratic gubernatorial candidate leader to 1,200 for Republican Wood. The latest total for the state of Pennsylvania, as tabulated in the KYW newsroom, shows of over 8,000 divisions in the state, with returns in from approximately 3,000 divisions, Democrat leader is leading by 100,000 votes, which seems to indicate very definitely a thorough Democratic trend in the state of Pennsylvania. This is John Rowley in Philadelphia. Now back to NBC Election Headquarters in New York.
They say the grand old man of the Democratic Party, Albin Barkley, would have an easy time of it in Kentucky, where the Democrats have a 3-1 registration over the GOP. But it's been a seesaw battle all evening. So let's get the latest on Kentucky by switching to Bob Kay at WAVE Louisville.
Democrat Albin Barkley has begun what looks like a steady pull away from Republican John Sherman Cooper in Kentucky's Senate race. With 32% of the state precincts counted, Barkley now has a lead of over 24,000 votes, and it is increasing by the minute. Cooper shot into a slight early lead on the basis of voting machine counted returns from city areas around Louisville and northern Kentucky, which regions usually favor him. However, Cooper's majorities in these cities' areas total only about 3,200 votes, which were quickly offset once the hand-counted returns started coming in from the farming areas. Up in the air at this stage is Kentucky's 3rd District House seat, now held by Republican John Robesian Jr. A recheck is underway, and at last count, with some 3 precincts untabulated, Robesian had only a bare lead of 400 votes over Democrat Harrison Robertson. Otherwise, Kentucky's present congressional lineup of 6 Democrats and 1 other Republican appears to be intact. Cooper has not yet conceded defeat, but observers believe it is only a matter of time until he does. Cooper is en route to Louisville from his Somerset home, and his staff will not make a statement till he arrives. Kentucky's Democratic Governor Lawrence Wetherby says that on the basis of returns so far, Barkley will win by at least 50,000 and possibly by as many as 75,000 votes. This is Bob Kay in Louisville.
It's time we had a look at the Midwest, where the polls closed several hours ago. Part of the Midwest had appalling weather today, just like most of the East Coast. So to get a picture out of the Midwest, an early picture no doubt, but an accurate one, we go to Chicago and Alex Dreyer.
Here in the Illinois senatorial race, incumbent Democrat Douglas, with only 500,000 votes in at this particular point, he doesn't have the margin that he had in 1948. He's well behind it. He's leading his Republican opponent, Meek, by only 81,000 votes. The vote in Chicago has been lighter than expected. Chicago, the hub of strongly Democratic Cook County, which contains more than half of the state's population. The suburban vote has been relatively heavy, which plus for either side. But the downstate vote, which nominally runs toward the Republican side, appears as if it will crack the 1950 mark of 1,600,000. But we repeat, as we said a moment ago, Meek is really pushing Douglas. Douglas only leading by 81,000 votes out of a total thus far of some 500,000 votes. And the heavy push from Meek is coming from the suburban and downstate areas. Congressional Illinois races, 25 seats up, 16 Republican, 9 Democrat, is now the pattern, and from scattered returns, incumbents are leading in 16 of the 25 races. The Wisconsin side, the gubernatorial race there, incumbent Republican Cola, running ahead of his opponent Proxmire. Incumbent congressman leading all of the races outside of Milwaukee's 4th and 5th district, and there in the 4th district, Republican Schaefer has taken a lead over his Democratic incumbent opponent. Indiana, 11 congressional seats, now split 10 Republican, 1 Democrat, scattered returns following that particular split. This is Alex Dreyer in Chicago. Now back to NBC Election Headquarters in New York.
Here are two late returns just in. Senator Andrew F. Scheffel, Republican, won re-election today in President Eisenhower's home state of Kansas on the basis of early returns. Scheffel defeated George McGill, a senator from 1930 to 38. Scheffel also beat McGill by 87,000 in 48, and apparently he is topping that poll tonight, which is the basis for this announcement from Kansas. Here's another announcement from Rhode Island. The Republicans have conceded that Dennis J. Roberts, a Democrat, has been reelected governor in Rhode Island. We haven't got the figures on that yet, but while we're waiting for them, let's get a look at the House of Representatives situation by switching down the table to Ray Henley.
Here is the situation in the House of Representatives at this moment. It's an even Steven race, and the outcome is not yet indicated. Only two switches definitely recorded. A Democrat has been elected to a Republican seat in Delaware. A Republican has been elected to a Democratic seat in Kansas. Neither of these switches is too significant. The incumbent Delaware Republican was elected by a close vote in 52. The incumbent Democrat in Kansas was elected 2 years ago by a fluke. The Democratic state chairman of the state of Connecticut has just notified national headquarters in Washington that he does not expect any change in the Connecticut lineup in the House of Representatives. This in spite of the fact that the Democrats' only House member, Representative Dodd, in the 1st District, has been elected by such a large margin that normally this should have taken the 2nd and 3rd Connecticut District seats, now held by Republicans, into the Democrat column. In Florida, 1st District, Republicans are claiming that their man has won. It would be a switch from a Democrat to a Republican in a deep South state, first since Reconstruction days. The Republican candidate Kramer ran on an I'll back Ike campaign. Also, Representative Broyhill claims victory in Virginia by 7,000. He won by only 300 200 years ago. He's a Republican. A report from another touch-and-go district, the first in Arizona. Democrats expected to unseat Republican incumbent John Rhodes. However, with a fifth of the district in, Rhodes is leading by 2,000. This is about his identical proportion of the vote as recorded in 2 years ago. So that's the picture. No losses, no gains for either side in the House of Representatives as yet.
Thanks very much, Ray Henley. In just a few seconds, I'm going to call on H.V. Kaltenborn to give us an analysis of this picture up to the moment in the first 20 minutes since we've been on the air. There have been some surprises already, lots of them, and they're pouring in. And by all indications, we're going to have a vote total tonight somewhere around 45 million, possibly approaching 50 million, which may make an all-time high for an off-year election contest. The latest word we have on New York State, still no confirmation that W. Averill Harriman has won the governorship. but it certainly seems to be rumored around town pretty generally. Both the major news agencies and some of the leading New York newspapers are claiming that Harriman has won and the Republicans only have to concede. But we'll get to the Kaltenborn analysis. We'll go to that story there shortly.
This is Jack Costello with four good words for you. The Bob Hope Show. Four words that hardly need any explanation because you know just what's in store with every Thursday night Bob Hope Show. 30 wonderful minutes of rapid-fire fun in the unique Bob Hope style. There's music, too, by the popular Margaret Whiting and Les Brown's Band of Renown. And Bill Goodwin is on hand, of course, to serve as a perfect foil for Bob's mile-a-minute comedy. This Thursday night, Bob's special guest is the beautiful Virginia Mayo. So don't forget, The Bob Hope Show on NBC Thursday nights. And another reminder, Thursday on NBC also means question and answer fun with the different quiz show, Spend a Million, starring Joey Adams as Quizmaster, who knows all the answers. Well, all the funny ones, that is. It's the quiz show with a reverse twist where contestants try to spend $1 million in a hurry. Now, once again, here is Merrill Muller.
Here's an early return from Nebraska, and I repeat, this is an early one. Republicans are sweeping into early and rather impressive leads in Nebraska's top general election races, including three U.S. senatorial contests, and on the basis of partial and a few unofficial returns from several score precincts early Tuesday evening. Mr. Kaltenborn, as I said a few minutes ago, is ready to give us an analysis on the first 20 minutes of our airtime here this evening with this surprisingly close national congressional race. HVK?
And the interesting thing is that a good many of the Democrats who have won on a campaign that they would support the president, like that Republican congressman who won in Florida, like the Democrat who won the senatorial race in Delaware. He's a conservative, he's a supporter of the administration on most issues. And I think we can say, on the basis of the scattered victories for Democrats so far, that it's going to be a Senate and a House that in large part will continue to support the president. I never took much stock in these stories that the president had to have a completely Republican Congress in order to get through most of his legislation. We all know that the Democrats helped him on a good many of the most important measures. We know that they will continue to help him in foreign affairs and on various matters where the issue is as between a reasonable conservatism and a radical solution. It's not going to be, by any means, a New Deal Congress, even though it probably will be a Democratic Congress, not by a huge margin, not by a landslide, but by the usual shift that comes in an off-year election.
Thanks, HVK. Here are a couple of late indications on the senatorial races. These are only early figures, I repeat. First, Ohio. For Senator, Republican Bender is leading Democrat Burke. The figures are 128,000 to 122,000 of 1,395 districts reporting. In Iowa, Martin, Republican, is trailing Gillette by about 4-1. Gillette is ahead by about 4-1 in early returns in Iowa. Incidentally, and while we're talking about this now, the first time I met Burke, the Democratic candidate for senator in Ohio, he was a local judge in Cleveland trying to stamp out crime. Well, the other night, the criminals got even with him, at least some of the boys did, because he tried to carry out a porch light drive for campaign funds. It seems his campaign funds were drying up, so he asked all the people who supported him to light their porches. And whenever the porch light shone in the darkness, one of his friends or associates would come around and collect some money for the Burke campaign. Well, a lot of people apparently lit up their porches to help Burke out there in Ohio or around Cleveland. But the trouble was that about 30 minutes before the regular Burke officials came around to collect, a lot of the underworld got there first, and they picked up all but about $2,700 of the money pledged to Burke, which made things a little bit tough for my old friend, the judge. Judge, you should know better than that. We've got some late news. Here's a bulletin. New York, Republican Senator Ives has conceded. Senator Ives has conceded the election of his Democratic opponent, Averill Harriman, to the New York governorship. This is a surprise. The Democrats have ended 12 years of Republican rule in the New York gubernatorial mansion at Albany. As you know, Mr. Dewey withdrew from the contest or withdrew from politics two months ago, as a matter of fact, and personally nominated Senator Ives to succeed him. I've said he would carry out a liberal program for which he's already famous in the state, but it wasn't good enough. despite Ives' pledges, despite a lot of smear tactics, and despite a very bitter and heavy campaign, Harriman has been the victor by Ives' concession just a few minutes ago. Senator Ives concedes the gubernatorial race in New York. And that's the top of the national election returns from NBC in New York.
And now a few sidelights on the election. One polling place in big New York City, New York State, of course, is having a Democratic feast tonight. In New York City, this one polling place recorded all its registered voters before noon today. Two of the voters came in person, and the third voted as an absentee. The election board spent the afternoon twiddling its thumbs. The law says that the polls cannot close until 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, even if everybody has voted. This tiny district is an oddity caused by a new housing development being raised to make way for new homes. Port Norris, New Jersey. Captain Smith Blackman, an oyster planter who celebrated his 110th birthday yesterday, went to the polls today to vote for the man he said was the best man, though he didn't say who it was. He is, however, a registered Republican. Ossining, New York, inmates at Sing Sing Prison today were given the special privilege of being allowed to listen to election results by radio until 11:15 p.m. The prisoners did have a special interest in the next governor because he has the power of pardon and commutation of death sentences. President Eisenhower paid a surprise visit tonight to Republican National Headquarters in downtown Washington, a few blocks from the White House. Asked if he saw any straws in the wind yet, Eisenhower said, "Oh, no, I don't know anything yet." That, however, was before the news had come in about Mr. Harriman in New York State. Mr. Eisenhower said that he just went to the headquarters to see the men there and thank the people who've been working so hard. Eisenhower was escorted through headquarters where the Republican National Committee staff was preparing to tabulate the night's returns by National Chairman Leonard Hall. Pausing before a big blackboard showing the Senate races in the 38 states, counting Maine, which elected in September, Eisenhower asked Hall how many governors were being elected, and he was given the answer, 34, which, of course, counts Maine. Mr. Eisenhower stayed only briefly before the board, posing for a few photographs, and he went on through the office suite. But he turned back and came through a second time with Hall, who took the president into Hall's private office in a small room behind the blackboard. Eisenhower left the headquarters after a visit of approximately 22 minutes on his way to headquarters and his return walk through the office suite. Eisenhower stopped, smiled, shook hands, and chatted with the party workers who crowded around him. The visit was recorded by 7 TV cameras. A crowd of reporters and still cameramen, of course, also were present. Mr. Eisenhower planned to return to the White House, pick up Mrs. Eisenhower, and then drive to the home of Secretary of the Treasury Humphrey for dinner, and he is there now, listening to the returns, watching them. The old bogeyman of politicians' bad weather was definitely laid to rest today. The eastern half of the country had foul weather, rain or snow or both, but the voters swarmed to the polls just the same, in very heavy order. And that bears out the contention of many experts that short of hazards, blizzards, or hurricanes on election day, the weather no longer has very much effect on voting. That's because this is the day of good roads and transport. However, in spite of the brisk turnout, the vote can't come near the 61,600,000 turnout of 2 years ago. But it can't do that because the registration was just too light this year. The first returns, of course, didn't establish any trend, but some trends are now beginning to be seen. The only sizable returns so far are from New York State, where it now is generally conceded that Averill Harriman will become the next governor, taking Governor Dewey's place. The big vote surprised most poll takers and those who thought that weather still counted. For example, in New York City, almost half the expected vote was tallied by 2 p.m., although a steady rain, lightning, and thunder covered the city all day. Upstate New York registered a surprisingly big vote, too, in spite of snow. This is W.W. Chaplin reporting.
This is the NBC Radio Network.